Hello, everyone. This is Alex Barthet with the Lean Zone podcast. Today, I'm rebroadcasting an interview I did with Lisa Taylor of Beyond Book Solutions. She is a QuickBooks Online master for contractors. She helps you set up, maintain, and work out all the kinks for QuickBooks Online. If you want to find out more about Lisa Taylor and how she can help you, check out the show notes. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Well, hello and welcome back. Today is a special video because we're joined by Alex Barthet, an expert in construction law. I was recently on Alex's podcast, The Lean Zone. You should check it out if you have not yet. There's a lot of good episodes on it. Alex, thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk about law, really. I mean, you think about it, it's a very difficult topic. It's a topic that is very complicated. Sometimes it's considered as boring as accounting, right?
That's true.
It is so important. I mean, you can get in trouble in so many different ways. So I feel like it's a good thing to have a conversation about what your contract should look like, what kind of trouble you can get into, and how to avoid it. But before we dive into the whole legal situation, will you tell us a little bit about your background? What drew you to specialize in construction law?
Sure. So my father started this law practice almost 30 years ago. I went to engineering school, so I graduated with an engineering degree and decided to go to law school and work with my dad. And, kind of the rest is history. So we run a practice here in South Florida. We have 14 lawyers in total, and all we do is service the construction industry. We don't represent any other clients, only those in the construction industry. So we help them with their contracts, collections, lien claims, bond claims, help them get paid, deal with disputes on the project, and construction defects. Kind of at a high level, that's really what we do on a daily basis.
Yeah, isn't it crazy thing that sometimes you hear you can't specialize that much in one industry, you'll never get clients, right? How would they find out about you? Yet you're in construction only, I'm accountant in construction only, and we're booked out.
Yes. Yeah. And what we find is that folks want a specialist. Just like when you want a service provider, you want to find someone that's a specialist so you don't have to pay them to learn all the things that you'd have to pay someone that represents a barbershop and a restaurant. So if you focus on just the people that help your industry, you'll get much better service.
Yeah, I agree. Because when you specialize, you work in that niche, you just know every single detail about it. So when somebody comes to you with questions, you know exactly how to handle them. Instead of somebody just saying, well, let me check out and see what I can come up with, right? That's
correct.
Not going to be helpful. As someone who works closely with financial aspects in the construction industry, I very often see how legal issues can seriously impact the financial health. For instance, disputes over contracts or delays, that can make a big difference on your cash flow and your budgets. So I'm curious, what are some of the most common legal issues that contractors and construction companies face that you have noticed?
So the biggest is, I would say there's two big ones. Number one is their contracts. We typically find folks fall into two categories. One, they have no contract at all. They have nothing. Whatever pops out of QuickBooks, that becomes their estimate. They have no terms and conditions. So for those folks, we recommend a very simple solution. Take some time and generate a one-page terms and conditions that will be either the back of your proposal or the second page of your proposal. You should have a lawyer prepare it. And it won't cost you very much, $1,000, $1,500 maybe to put it all together. And it'll have terms that will protect you, like the right to stop work if you're not getting paid, access to the site to make sure that if you show up one day and it's not available and you decide to turn around, that you can point to something in the contract, indemnity, insurance, What the key to good terms and conditions are things that likely could go wrong that you can then look at the document. It has the rule on what to do when that happens. And then that avoids a dispute because it's the dispute that costs money. So for smaller contractors that don't have that set up already, I strongly recommend putting that in. And then the second group are people that are maybe a little more sophisticated. They have some kind of contract, but they're now getting handed the contract of the other side, right? So as you get a little bigger, what you'll notice is that instead of people saying, "Give me your contract," they're saying, "Here's my contract. You need to review and sign it." And the mistake we see people make there is they just sign it. They feel like if I make any changes, I'm not going to get the job. So you know what? I'm going to confirm the price, the scope, the schedule, but all of these 1, 2, 10, 50 pages of terms and conditions, I'm not going to touch them. And there's a lot that's buried in those. And I'm here to tell you that all of it is negotiable. Maybe not as much as you want, but if you don't even try, you're unfortunately not really going to get the best deal you can. So when we talk about contracts, if you don't have terms and conditions, you need to get some. And if people are handing you contracts and you're just signing them, you're leaving deal points on the table. You should be pushing back on a lot of those terms.
Yeah, a lot of times you receive a contract, you look through it, you're like, I don't understand anything this says. The one thing I know, if I don't sign it, I don't get a job. And then you get into so much trouble so fast, and you wish you reached out to somebody to say, like, hey, can you see something wrong with it? Should I be concerned about it? You know, it doesn't take that long to have an expert just to look through the contract and say you're okay or you got to renegotiate. You don't want to have a project that is going to cause you headache just to have a project.
Correct. You're better off having no project than a project that loses you money. So, like you, who gives out a lot of free information to help the construction community, we do the same. So, we have a tool called the Contract Detective. So, anyone can go there, contractdetective.com. It's primarily designed for Florida, but the issues are pretty generic. You can upload a contract up to 100 pages long, and in about 60 seconds, it will send you back your contract with sections highlighted that it sees as the most dangerous sections. We've identified 10 of them. And then it'll include a link next to each of those provisions that points you to a video explaining what that provision is and how to make some changes. So if you are a little intimidated or don't have the budget to hire a lawyer, this is a completely free tool that will allow you to at least get a better understanding of what you're signing. It won't change anything, but at least now you know where some of the landmines are.
That is amazing. I mean, that tool is huge, really, because you can't get anything for free nowadays, you know? Like my dad used to say, the free cheese is only in the mousetrap. But I see a lot of people trying to help people nowadays. So this is a great tool. I'm gonna link it in the description for the video. Yeah, I mean, little things like that that you can do to just ensure that you're staying on top of things. I know that a lot of times there are conflicts, right? Disputes in construction projects. How would you recommend handling those conflicts so they don't, you know, hurt you financially or reputation and all that?
So the most important thing that any construction professional can do is document their project well, because the party that's going to win that dispute is almost always going to be the party that has the most documentation. The better emails, the better meeting minute notes, more photos, videos. So if you want to be able to assert your position in a dispute that you are correct and the other person is incorrect, having emails that support your position that were sent at the time that the incident occurred, photos before, during, and after, you will be well prepared to confront that dispute in a non-emotional, very matter-of-fact way that will likely convince the other side that they should reconsider their position. So, the Documentation is what you need to put together to prepare for the dispute that hasn't happened yet. So, some simple things we recommend clients do, take pictures of the site at least weekly. Now, there's really no excuse not to take pictures every few days. We recommend you take pictures of the area that you're working in, areas around the site as a whole, because we've had situations where something has happened. Not right where you're working, but around the site. And if you don't have pictures of it before the situation, sometimes it's hard to prove. So, take lots and lots of pictures. And then when meetings happen, send an email confirming, hey, thanks for the meeting. We agreed that this was what's going to happen. You're going to do this, I'm going to do this. Just to have this paper trail, because the reality is if you're going to rely on what people said and there's no email or document supporting it, it's as if it doesn't exist. So, the truth is what's in the documents. So you need to make sure you document things well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have a client who is a cost plus, right? All of his contracts is this is what we spend. We got to get reimbursed plus, our fee. And because they had bookkeepers before us that did not track anything properly, they have been wrongly invoicing people, didn't have good records. So their clients basically said, I'm not paying you. So they had to go to an attorney to figure that out. At that time, they already had hired us, and we've been cleaning up all of their projects, auditing all the expenses and everything. So we came prepared with the documents like, hey, this is what's been sent, spent. This is what kind of emails have been sent. And we were able to get really good settlement from that. And, they wouldn't have had to go to the attorney in the first place if they would, their records would have been clear, and the communication with the customer would have been correct. So a lot of ways you can avoid the legal system by just keeping good records. So I totally agree. Like change orders, right? Little thing. Change orders are not in a lot of contracts. So then you give fixed price estimate to somebody and they're like, okay, sounds good. And then they want to change something. You don't have change orders or the price increase for materials. And that's it. You spend all that money and you ain't gonna get paid for that. That
So
comes
that
out
so
of your
those are
pocket.
great terms to have in your terms and conditions, right? To deal, how are you going to deal with change orders? How are you going to deal with material and labor escalation? With respect to change orders, the biggest mistake we see clients make is doing the work before you have the signed change order.
Yep,
It's
I
the
see that.
simplest rule. You should just be able to say, I would really like to start adding this new bathroom, changing the tile, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm happy to do it, but we need a signed change order. The other reason why that's really important is because you have the leverage on your side before the work is done. So if you wait until the work is done, you have now removed all the pressure from the other side to hurry up and sign the document. When in fact, if you turn it around the other way, say, I'm ready to do it. Here's the paperwork. I just need you to sign it. Now it's on them. The job is getting delayed because they're not signing the change order, right? So the pressure is on them to sign the change order. So don't take that pressure off when it can benefit you by making sure you get the document signed that you need to sign.
Yeah, I agree. Another thing is I talk to a lot of startup businesses, and I know how important it is to, stay compliant with all the regulations and building codes. And I see a lot of people not taking it seriously that they need to get those licenses, they need to follow the building codes. And I just, how can construction companies ensure that they're meeting those requirements?
So that's a tough one because we see it a lot here too in Florida, where folks want to cut corners. I just got hired by a new client yesterday who was an ele he's an electrician and probably a very qualified electrician, but doesn't have the necessary paperwork in place. So instead of properly qualifying his business, he just has someone that he knows pull the permits for him. which here in South Florida, in Florida generally, is illegal. It's actually a can be a felony or a misdemeanor to do that. So you know, it's not a problem until it's a problem, and usually it's a big problem. So this client, for example, he's going to have to pay us a few thousand dollars to solve this problem for him. He's going to have to pay several thousand dollars worth of a fine to the state, all of which could have been avoided had he just taken a little bit of time and prepared the paperwork that he's going to do now because he has to, but he could have done it to avoid the problem. So the easiest way to solve that problem is to speak to an expert. You know, if someone comes to me and says, I'm interested in becoming a licensed plumber, what do I have to do? You know, because we've been in the industry so long, you know, we can tell you this is the application you need, these are the licenses you need. So don't be afraid to talk to a professional to help you start the business correctly, because it's much more expensive to fix the problems than it is to spend a little money now to get set up correctly. You know, the most successful clients we have, they've come to me and they said, we're starting out, we know we need a set of contracts so that we can give them to subcontractors and owners. Can you prepare them for us so we start our first project the right way? So that's something that folks should consider doing for sure.
Yeah, I do see a lot of subcontractors that are coming to our clients, and they have no contracts in place. Good thing our clients have contracts in place, and like we previously talked, I don't think subcontractors even reading through them. They just blindly signing them, and that's just not the way to go. You got to be prepared, get all the licenses you need, research all the building costs, get all of your contracts in place. It's just good due diligence. You know, I think one of the hottest questions that I hear is how to address payment disputes and ensuring timely payments for contractors, right? Because that's the biggest thing. They don't get paid on time, and they're like, I don't know what to deal with it. What's the lien? What do I do with all that?
Yeah, it's you know, the first thing that I would say is we go right back to the contracts, right? So you need an agreement that clearly defines when you're going to get paid. So there's no misunderstanding. We can look at this document, we've signed it, this is what it says, this is when I'm going to get paid. So that's number one. Number two, you need to train your clients correctly. They're like children. Right. So I don't know about you, but you know, my kids know when to ask mom something versus when to ask dad something, because the children are master manipulators, you know, and some clients could be the same way. So if you give them an inch, they may take a mile. So you need to be very firm. And if payments are due on the 15th of the month, well, guess what? On the 16th of the month, is your office reaching out to your client saying, hey, where's your payment? You do that once or twice. You usually don't have to do it a third or fourth time. They realize, oh, you know, so and so contractor, they're pretty strict. They run a tight ship. They expect to be paid on time. So the more you can just convince your client that this is the way things are done, and if you don't want to do it this way, then we'll go somewhere else, you will get paid faster. I promise. So put your foot down early. Don't let your clients slide on not paying at the beginning, because that's going to be the tone for the rest of the project. And then the last thing is, if you have to secure your lien rights, then it is absolutely critical that you know the law in the state that you're in on how to perfect those lien rights. I was speaking to a client last week. They are an out-of-state contractor, subcontractor. They install tiles in big hotels. So they're based out of New York, but they do business all over the country. And they came to Florida, down to Key West, actually, and they installed about $1 million worth of tile, and they're owed about $250,000. And she says, we're not getting paid. And I said, well, did you send a notice to owner? And she said, what is that? And I said, well, actually, you needed to have sent it within 45 days of your first work on the job, which was, you know, 9 months ago. No, we never sent that. Well, I said, well, under Florida's lien law, you are not entitled to record a lien because you didn't do this notice that you needed to send before you were owed even any money. You needed to send this notice. Every state is different. Texas is different. New York, California, Florida. So you need to understand before you start a project, what are the lien laws in your jurisdiction so that you can enforce your lien rights? Because some jurisdictions, just like Florida, require that you do something before you're owed any money. And if you just wait until you're owed money, well, guess what? It's too late. We recommend a notice company by the name of Sunray Construction Solutions. They're based in Florida, but they service the entire country. And their website is amazing. They have a little education page. You click on the state and it'll tell you all the rules. So if you want to know what the rules are in, you know, Connecticut to record your lien, just click on Connecticut and they'll tell you exactly what you need to do. Florida, Texas, Wyoming. So that's absolutely critical. Know what the rules are before you start your project. And then you can secure your right to be paid because every state has some type of lien law. You just have to comply with the rules.
Yeah, that's wise words. Well, thank you, Alex, again for sharing your expertise with us today. I will link below how you can find Alex if you're in Florida. Also, linking below the wonderful tool that you've got and the company that you just referred to. Yeah, for everyone watching, thank you for joining us. If you want to see more videos like this, you know what to do. Comment, like, and subscribe to the channel. See you next time. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you very much.